A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been setting up a new rental apartment in Jerusalem, and the outlet situation is driving him mad. A handful of sockets across a two-bedroom flat, none of them where you actually need them. So his plan is to build custom extension leads, buy a roll of cable, terminate it himself, get exactly the lengths he needs. Then he walks into a DIY store, asks for 100 meters of general-purpose household power cable, and immediately gets hit with a question he can't answer. Which type? He looks at contractor supply catalogs and finds page after page of conductor types, insulation materials, voltage ratings, installation methods, square millimeters, and suddenly buying wire feels like ordering wine from a sommelier who's decided you're not ready for the list. So he's asking us to decode this world from first principles. What are all these specifications actually describing? Conductor size in square millimeters, solid versus stranded, PVC versus rubber, temperature ratings, voltage ratings, shielding, flexible versus installation cable. Why do dozens of variants exist that all look almost identical? Which ones actually matter to a competent DIYer building extension leads, and which are mainly for electricians installing permanent wiring inside walls? And finally, how does this differ across Ireland, the UK, continental Europe, and Israel? Do they label cable differently, or is the complexity mostly an artifact of reading professional catalogs instead of consumer packaging? Then the specific questions start from first principles. When someone wants ordinary mains cable for 230-volt domestic use, what are all these specifications actually describing? Explain conductor size in square millimeters, solid versus stranded conductors, insulation materials like PVC and rubber, temperature ratings, voltage ratings, shielding, flexible versus installation cable, and why there seem to be dozens of variants that all look almost identical. Flexible cord versus fixed installation cable. If someone simply wants to build safe extension leads, what should they be looking for, and what common mistakes should they avoid? And finally, how does this differ internationally? Ireland, the UK, continental Europe, and Israel all use broadly similar mains voltages, but do they specify and label cable differently? Is the apparent complexity mostly because he's now reading professional electrical supplier catalogs instead of consumer packaging? Or is there genuinely much more variation than most people realize? So let's decode this wine list. Let's start with what those numbers and letters actually mean.
The first thing to understand, and this is the key that unlocks everything, is that you're not looking at one product category. You're looking at two completely different things that happen to share the same raw material. Every specification on a cable answers one of three questions. How much current can this safely carry? What environment can it survive? And how is it allowed to be installed? That's it.
Installation cable goes in walls and stays there. Flexible cord gets moved around.
And the most important number, the one that determines everything else, is the conductor cross-sectional area in square millimeters. It's stiff. It holds its shape. It's cheap per meter. And if you try to coil and uncoil it repeatedly, the copper will work harden and snap at the connection points. Flexible cord is designed to flex. The cross-sectional area, yes. Imagine cutting through the copper conductor and looking at the face of the cut, that circle's area in square millimeters. And the physics is beautifully simple. Thicker copper has lower electrical resistance. Lower resistance means less heat generated when current flows through it. Less heat means you can push more amps through before the insulation starts to degrade or the cable becomes a fire risk.
So Daniel's extension lead project lives entirely in the flexible cord world. That already cuts the catalog down by about half.
It does. And now let's decode the actual labeling system, because once you know how to read it, the whole thing becomes legible. The H code. H stands for harmonized. It's a European standard recognized across the continent and beyond. 1.5 millimeters squared for lighting circuits and light duty applications. 2.5 mm squared for standard power outlets. That's your workhorse. 4 mm squared and 6 mm squared for high-load appliances like electric ovens, hobs, and some air conditioning units. For extension leads, you're living in the 1.5 and 2.5 world. 1.5 is fine for most appliances up to about 10 to 13 amps. 2.5 gives you headroom and handles longer runs.
And the reason longer runs matter isn't just heat, it's voltage drop.
Right. Over distance, the resistance of the cable itself eats some of the voltage. A few meters, you'll never notice. Run a 50-meter lead on 1.5-millimeter cable pulling a heavy load, and the voltage at the far end might sag enough to matter. Motors run hot, things don't work properly, the fix is thicker copper. 2.5 millimeters squared drops less voltage over the same distance.
So that's the conductor. Now the next thing Daniel ran into was solid versus stranded. What's the distinction?
Solid conductor is exactly what it sounds like, a single thick copper wire. It's cheap, it holds its shape when you bend it into a terminal, and it stays put. Perfect for fixed installation where the cable goes in once and never moves. Stranded conductor is many thin copper wires twisted together, typically 7 strands for ordinary flexible cord, but it can be dozens of very fine strands for cables that need to survive constant flexing. That's the stuff you see on construction sites. The tough black rubber cable that survives being run over by wheelbarrows.
And they look almost identical from the outside. Black PVC versus black rubber. You'd need to handle them to feel the difference.
The solid core will eventually crack at the connector, and when it cracks, you get arcing, heating, and potentially a fire. It's not that it fails immediately. If Daniel's apartment has those freezing Jerusalem stone floors in January, a PVC extension lead will be noticeably less cooperative than a rubber one.
Let's get into conductor size, because this is where the physics actually bites.
Conductor size is measured in square millimeters, and it's the cross-sectional area of the copper inside each core. This determines how much current the cable can carry before it heats up dangerously. The practical range for domestic use, not 0.75 square millimeters lamp cord territory, rated for about 6 amps. 1.0, light duty, about 10 amps. 1.5. That's the sweet spot, rated for about 16 amps, and it's what you want for any standard extension lead on a 13-amp or 16-amp circuit. 2.5, heavy duty, 20 to 25 amps for long runs or high power equipment.
16 amps at 230 volts is about 3.7 kilowatts. That covers basically anything you'd plug into a standard socket.
It does. A kettle is about 2 to 3 kilowatts. A space heater, similar. Your computer and monitor combined might pull 300 watts. 1.5 square millimeters handles all of it comfortably. The critical rule, and this is the safety rule that prevents house fires, is that the cable's current rating must match or exceed the protection device. The fuse or circuit breaker protects the cable, not the appliance. If you put a 13-amp fuse in a UK plug and connect it to not 0.75 square millimeter flex, the cable will overheat and potentially catch fire before the fuse ever blows.
Because the fuse is rated higher than the cable.
The fuse thinks everything's fine. It's only seeing 13 amps within its rating. But the cable is being asked to carry nearly double what it's designed for. The copper heats up, the insulation softens, and eventually something gives. The same conductor with 90-degree rubber insulation can carry more, not because the copper is different, but because the insulation can survive the higher temperature. The rating is printed on the sheath for exactly this reason.
So the rule is 1.5 square millimeters minimum for anything with a 13-amp or 16-amp plug.
Yes. In Israel, the standard socket is 16 amps on a Type H plug, so 1.5 is your floor. The two numbers are phase to earth and phase to phase. 300 volts between any conductor and earth, 500 volts between conductors.
What about solid versus stranded? Solid is one thick copper wire per core. Stranded is many thin wires twisted together.
450/750 cable is designed for industrial environments where the supply might be 400 volts, three-phase, or where the cable gets buried in walls and needs mechanical protection. It's also cheaper and makes better connections in screw terminals because it doesn't splay out. Stranded copper. Especially the fine stranding in flexible cord can bend thousands of times without breaking. It's like buying a fire truck to do the school run. It'll work, but it's heavier, stiffer, harder to terminate than standard plugs, and completely unnecessary.
Now we get to the part that actually looks like a secret code. The harmonized system.
This is the Rosetta Stone. Once you can read this, every cable in Europe and Israel tells you exactly what it is. The system is called CENELECP, the European Committee for Electrotechnical Standardization, and it uses a string of letters and numbers that encode the entire specification.
You mentioned work hardening. What's actually happening there?
Then comes a two-digit number. 05 means 300/500 volts. 07 means 450/750. Then letters for insulation and sheath material. V is PVC. R is rubber. N is polychloroprene, that's neoprene, the tough synthetic rubber. And finally, if there's an F at the end, it means flexible, fine stranded conductors. But for a standard extension lead powering a lamp or a laptop charger, completely unnecessary. Shielded mains cable exists for industrial environments with variable frequency drives and sensitive instrumentation, not for domestic use. H05VVF, F for harmonized, O5 for 300/500 volts, V for PVC insulation, second V for PVC outer sheath, F for flexible. That's the standard indoor extension lead cable across all of Europe and Israel.
So Daniel using solid cable for an extension lead would mean it works fine for a few weeks, and then silently fails at the plug.
You wouldn't use it to make an extension lead for your dining table. H07RNF. 07 for 450/750. R for rubber insulation. N for neoprene sheath. F for flexible. That's the orange cable. Tougher, more expensive, overkill for Daniel's living room.
The G matters. Daniel might see cables where the earth is smaller.
Some cheaper cables have a reduced size earth. 2.5 millimeter cores for live and neutral, but only 1.5 for earth. It's allowed in certain fixed installations where the earth only carries fault current momentarily. For an extension lead, you want all three cores the same size. The G in the code guarantees that. The downsides, PVC stiffens significantly in cold weather, it can melt if exposed to high heat, and it releases hydrochloric acid if it burns, which is corrosive and toxic.
Cheerful.
It's for signal integrity, stopping electromagnetic interference from corrupting data in instrumentation cables or containing electrical noise from variable speed drives. For domestic mains power, it does nothing. If you see screen mains cable and you're building extension leads, you're in the wrong aisle. The trade-off is cost and weight. Rubber flex is noticeably heavier and more expensive than PVC.
Daniel's apartment is indoors, climate controlled. He doesn't need rubber flex for a cable running from the kitchen to the dining table.
If the lead is going to live outdoors or in a workshop where it'll see oil, cold, or rough treatment, swap to HO5RNF. Same voltage rating, rubber instead of PVC. That's it. Two variants cover essentially every domestic extension lead application.
And everything else in that contractor catalog?
Fixed installation cable. H07V, U, that's single core solid PVC insulated wire with no outer sheath, the stuff electricians pull through conduit. H07VR is the stranded version for installations where some flexibility is needed during installation, but not during use. NYM is a common sheathed installation cable. It's got a gray outer jacket and is designed to be buried in plaster. None of these are flexible cords. None of them belong in an extension lead.
The catalog showed them all side by side because an electrician might need any of them on a given job. The DI walks in, sees a wall of cable, and assumes the complexity is about the product.
When it's really about the installation method, in walls, in conduit, in cable trays, buried directly in plaster, exposed on cable trays outdoors, submerged. Each installation method has different mechanical and environmental demands, so the standards body specifies different cable constructions for each. An electrician needs to match the cable to the method. Daniel doesn't. He's connecting appliances to sockets. The flex world is small and simple.
Let's talk about the mistakes that actually get people into trouble.
The big one we've covered, solid core installation cable in an extension lead. It'll work for a while, then it'll break at the connector. The second is undersizing.
Let's decode a few more age codes, because this is where the catalog really starts to look like a wine list. We've got HO5VVF and HO7RNF. What are the other ones he's likely to encounter?
Moisture eventually finds its way in. After a couple of years, the outer sheath cracks and you've got exposed conductors. The O3 rating means it's only suitable for lower power devices. You wouldn't use it for a kettle. Then there's the installation cable side. HO7V, U is single core, solid conductor with PVC insulation, used for fixed wiring and conduit. The fuse in the plug. The BS1363 plug, the square pin plug used in the UK and Ireland, contains a cartridge fuse. That fuse is the overcurrent protection for the flexible cord.
The U means solid. The R means stranded but not flexible. The F means actually flexible.
A 1.5 mm lead takes a 10 amp fuse. A 2.5 mm lead takes a 13 amp fuse. You'll see HO7VR described as stranded in catalogs, and a DIYer might think stranded equals flexible. I can use this for my extension lead. But it's not flexible cord, it's installation cable with coarse stranding. The fuse won't blow until the current exceeds 13 amps, but the cable might be overheating at 10. The fuse is supposed to be the weakest link.
So now we've decoded the labels. Let's get to the part Daniel actually cares about. Which of these specs matter to him, standing in his Jerusalem apartment with a tape measure?
Three things. Conductor size, 1.5 square millimeters for anything on a standard socket circuit. Flexible versus solid. Always F-class flexible cord for extension leads. And both approaches work, but they work differently. The continental European system assumes the installation is properly designed with correctly rated circuit breakers. The UK system adds a second layer at the point of use. The fuse protects the flex specifically, so even if you plug a thin lead into a 32 amp ring main, the fuse blows before the cable does.
Daniel asked about international labeling differences. Are the cable codes actually different in different countries?
They're identical. The harmonized system was designed to eliminate exactly that problem. Ireland, the UK, France, Germany, Israel, HO5VVF means the same thing everywhere. Israel is a CENELEC-affiliated country, so the standards body there uses the same codes. The cable on the shelf in a Jerusalem hardware store carries the same H code as the cable in a Dublin hardware store.
The complexity Daniel ran into isn't about geographical variation. It's about catalog depth.
Consumer packaging hides the code behind plain language. Extension lead cable, appliance flex. Professional catalogs show every variant because electricians need to spec exactly the right cable for each installation method.
What are the common mistakes you see DIYers make here?
Five big ones. First, using solid installation cable for a flex. We've covered why that's dangerous, work hardening, and snap. Second, undersizing the conductor. The sommelier assumes you know what you're looking at. The contractor supplier assumes the same. Daniel walked in speaking consumer and got answered in trade. It works electrically, but the joint becomes a failure point, especially if it's hidden under furniture. Fourth, buying speaker wire or bell wire by mistake. These look similar to mains cable, but they're not rated for mains voltage. The plugs and sockets. Israel uses the SI32 standard. Three flat pins in a triangular arrangement, somewhat similar to the old British BS546, but not interchangeable. The voltage is 230, same as Europe. The frequency is 50 Hz, same as Europe. So Daniel buys the same HO5VVF cable he'd buy in Dublin, then terminates it with Israeli standard plugs and sockets. If Daniel's building leads for Israel, he needs to know that his cable must be rated for 16 amps because there's no fuse in the plug to provide a lower chirp point.
That's an interesting difference. The UK and Ireland put the fuse in the plug. Continental Europe and Israel put it in the breaker panel.
Just pick the right cross section for the load and the run length. Maybe a third if they want a really thin cord for a lamp. 1.5 mm squared handles 10 amps comfortably, which covers most domestic appliances. Lamps, laptops, televisions, phone chargers, small kitchen appliances.
Whereas the continental approach says, the circuit breaker at the panel is 16 amps, and every cable plugged into that circuit must be rated for 16 amps. End of story.
The voltage drop over distance is the deciding factor, not just the current. Every extension lead must be 1.5 square millimeters minimum, even if it's only powering a 5-watt phone charger.
Which for Daniel in Israel actually simplifies things. 1.5 square millimeters for everything. No decisions to make.
The Israeli type H plug is 16 amps, 230 volts, 3 pin. The cable spec is straightforward HO5VVF, 3G1.5. He doesn't need to think about fuse ratings because there's no fuse in the plug. True, A 6mm conductor isn't going into a standard 13-amp plug top. The terminal simply won't accept it. 2.5 is about the practical maximum for standard domestic plugs and sockets.
Let's talk about the international comparison more broadly. Daniel asked whether Ireland, the UK, Europe, and Israel actually specify and label cable differently, or whether the complexity is just catalog-induced.
The cable itself is essentially identical across all these countries. The H-code harmonized standard means that HO5VVF manufactured in Germany is the same as HO5VVF sold in Ireland or Israel. The copper is the same cross-section, the insulation is the same material, the stranding is the same class. What changes is the plug on the end. That's it. The three checks before plugging anything in. 1. Confirm the cable is stranded, not solid. You can tell by flexing it. Stranded feels supple, solid feels springy.
So the apparent complexity is mostly catalog-induced.
It's both. The catalogs do add noise. They list every variant for every conceivable application, from marine to mining to railway signaling. One more thing about the earth. When you're building extension leads, don't be tempted to skip the earth connection just because the appliance you're plugging in today is double insulated and doesn't need it. Tomorrow you'll plug in something with a metal case that does. Always wire the earth through.
The lead should be universal, even if today's load is specific.
Build the lead to the standard, not to the appliance.
Let's boil this down to what Daniel should actually do when he walks into the store.
Walk to the electrical section. Find the flexible cord. It'll be on reels or in pre-cut coils, not on the heavy wooden drums that installation cable comes on. Look for HO5VVF on the label. Choose 3G1.5 for general use or 3G2.5 for longer runs and heavier loads. Buy the length you need plus 10% for termination. Pick up Israeli standard plugs and sockets, SI32, 3 flat pins. And you're done. Installation methods. There are detailed regulations about how deep cables must be buried in walls, which zones require RCD protection, what type of conduit is acceptable. None of that applies to a plug-in extension lead.
So the DIYer's world is much simpler, but the catalogs don't separate it out.
The catalogs are written for electricians who need to cover every scenario in the wiring regulations. A DIYer walks in and gets hit with the full fire hose. It's the difference between consumer packaging and professional catalogs in any trade. Paint, lumber, plumbing fittings, electrical components. The consumer sees a curated subset with plain language labels.
Let's get practical. Daniel's apartment. He wants to run power from the kitchen to the dining table and to his office. What's his shopping list?
And once you learn to read the label, the wall of options collapses into the two or three things you actually need. He'll need a cable stripper, a screwdriver, and possibly some ferrules if the terminals benefit from them. That's the whole list.
And the process?
Strip the outer sheath carefully. Don't nick the insulation on the individual cores. Strip each core to the right length for the terminal. Twist the strands lightly to keep them together. Connect live to live, neutral to neutral, earth to earth. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop, this has been My Weird Prompts. The strain relief is what prevents any tension on the cable from pulling on the electrical connections. It's the most overlooked part of plug wiring, and it's critical for safety.
What about daisy chaining? He mentioned running power around the apartment. Is he tempted to plug one extension lead into another?
That's the thing to avoid. Every connection adds resistance and a potential failure point. If he needs a long run, make one long extension lead, not three short ones plugged together. Daisy chaining also makes it easy to accidentally overload the first lead in the chain. It's carrying the current for everything downstream. One properly sized lead from the socket to the destination is the right approach.
And if the run is permanent, like a cable that'll live under the sofa and never move, is there any case for using installation cable?
No. Even if it never moves, it'll get moved eventually. Cleaning, rearranging furniture, someone trips on it. Flexible cord is the right choice for anything that isn't physically embedded in the building structure. The only exception is if he's actually adding new sockets to the wall, which requires an electrician and a permit in most places.
Let's boil this down to a checklist. What should Daniel actually do this weekend?
Step 1, measure the runs. Step 2, buy HO5VVF, 3G1.5 and the lengths you need, plus Israeli type H plugs and sockets. Step 3, terminate carefully with proper strain relief. Step 4, never daisy chain. Step 5, if the lead will be walked on or run under a rug, get a cable protector or run it along the wall. Crushed insulation is a slow developing fault that you won't notice until it arcs.
And the golden rule to remember.
The protection device, fuse or breaker, protects the cable, not the appliance. Always match the cable to the protection. For Israel, that means 1.5 square millimeters minimum on a 16 amp circuit. If you remember nothing else, remember that.
The sommelier's wine list turns out to have about 2 entries that matter, and the rest is for people wiring factories and ships.
The catalog is intimidating because it's comprehensive, not because the problem is inherently complex. Once you know the 2 product codes and the 1 safety rule, you can walk into any electrical supplier in 4 countries and get exactly what you need.
One last thought before we wrap up. Is this whole world about to change? We're seeing more and more devices move to USB-C, power delivery, and power over Ethernet. Laptops, monitors, even some small appliances now run on low-voltage DC. Are we heading toward a future where the humble mains cable becomes as obsolete as the phone line?
I think we're decades away from that for anything that draws real power. USB-C PD currently tops out at 240 watts. That's enough for a laptop or a monitor, but nowhere near a kettle or a space heater. The physics of power delivery favors higher voltage for higher loads. That's why mains is 230 volts and not 5 or 20. For low power devices, sure, we're already seeing the shift. But for anything with a heating element or a motor, 230 volt AC is going to be the backbone for a long time. What might change is that the DIY cable question shifts from which mains cable to which USB-C cable, and that's a whole different specification nightmare.
With its own wine list, I'm sure.
Oh, it's worse. Active versus passive, data rate, wattage rating, whether it's got an eMarker chip, it makes mains cable look positively serene.
Something to look forward to. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you enjoyed this, leave a review. It helps other frustrated apartment dwellers find us. And send us your weird prompts.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.